Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Well, thank you, Dan. Let's all pray for Pat Torek tonight because she is in India for 5 weeks and won't be with us or calling in, I don't think. But hallelujah for opportunities like that. I get invitations to go abroad almost every single day, but of course I can't keep them all or go, but you all just pray for us. Tonight we have a co-host, Teresa Hudson, who is one of our alumni, and she's from Nashville. Welcome to the program, Teresa.
Well, thank you, Carlotta. It's great to be here.
How's the weather down there in the south?
Oh, gosh, we've had plenty of snow where I live, about 5 inches. And south of me, the southern part below Nashville really got hit hard with ice and snow. So the school kids won't have to go to school tomorrow again, and they were out today. So it's just, I think, Friday also. So it's been a big holiday. The bad thing is that several people have been in accidents on sleds, and oh my goodness, you don't want to hear about that. It's just a fun thing, but you have to watch out.
They may lose their sledder's license.
Yes. Some of them, I think, are too old to be trying that anyway.
And you, I guess you lost some decorating time for a couple of days there.
I did. I was off for a day and a half. So anyway, it was a little hard today trying to catch up, but It really evened out toward the end of the day, which I'm thankful.
Well, we've got a special guest with us tonight, Prophet Kurt Daigle from Louisiana. He's not only a prophet, but he's also traveling more and more. How are you tonight, Prophet Kurt?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the program tonight.
I just thought you might be just the one to share with our listeners more about how to be a prophetic witness here in the end times. You know what it is to have a little opposition now and then.
Yes, there will always be opposition, especially if you're doing things for God. There's going to be some opposition.
That's right. That's right.
You really just take it with a grain of salt, and you just love them and just keep on going.
Well, that's why I put as the introduction that we're called to love no matter what. Speak the invisible into the visible, tear down strongholds, destroy the works of the devil, and remain humble before people and Father God all at the same time.
That's right.
Prophetic life isn't for wimps. You can hear about speaking the unthinkable, feeling the unbelievable, or believing the unbelievable, discerning the invisible, working miracles, and loving the most unlovable. Tonight, we're going to have stories to cover it all, because what you need to ask yourself is, do I have true grit if you're going to be a witness in the end times, and especially a prophetic one? So I'm encouraging people to call in tonight with their stories. That could make this most interesting. If they'll call 917-388-4683, some of you have not understood that you can listen and call in to participate both on that line, and you don't miss the program. It's 917-388-4683. Well, who wants to go first? Anybody got
Ooh, me.
Okay. Go for it.
Well, you know, when I first started prophesying after I came back from Christian International, I felt a little bit intimidated, and of course my mode of prophesying is I never know what I'm going to speak until I open my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and really it's a good thing, because if I knew in advance I probably would have kind of like took off running and not did what I was supposed to do. But this is not for wimps. This is real stuff. And when I first started prophesying, my prophecies were general, the exhortation, edification, and comfort. Well, those are fine. But one day God says, okay, you graduated. Step up the plate. Tell them thus saith the Lord. And I went from exhortation, edification, and comfort to predicting the future of some people's lives, telling people about their lives. And that is a totally new territory. And when I began to do it, I have to say I was intimidated. I really was. Because I don't take it as a light thing to say, thus saith the Lord.
No.
And nobody should. But, we can all prophesy. But there comes a time when God will allow us to step forward and go up to another level in prophecy, which there are different levels of prophecy. And, we've seen so much foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
In the apostle and the prophet
mm-hmm.
offices, I just don't want to be like that, Carlotta. I want the word to be pure. I want it to be, and that's another reason why I do not want to know anything about anybody that I'm about to prophesy to.
Right, right.
And so, there's a line to walk, but I believe that we should establish righteousness. We should walk in integrity in that office.
Yes.
And that's what my ministry is about. It's not about me. It's about saying what God has to say. And sometimes it can be rather difficult to give those words. And there's joyous moments too. So, you can't take one without taking the other. You just have to be obedient and just say what God says.
Well, like you said, a lot of times when we prophesy, we don't know what we're going to say ahead of time. And I was talking to a minister just the other day, and I didn't realize that he didn't know that. He was like, well, so-and-so was saying they didn't know what they were going to say. And I said, well, that's how it is most of the time for me. I'm already laying my hand on their shoulder saying, I hear the Lord say it, and I haven't heard anything. But when I first started saying that, all I've heard is he said, prophesy to this gentleman or this woman, and that's it, or this child. But I know it's going to be for that person's good, that much I know, whether they think it's edifying, consoling, or whatever, it's going to be for their good. And that's one thing I really like, being prophetic, because while some prophets are on staff at a church or may even be pastor of a church, I like being free to just represent God and what he says is for their good. And that's one thing I love about this particular fivefold ministry that I'm in, is that I am not feeling somewhat pressured, to represent a certain church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm free to represent God and just say it his way exactly as he said it to me.
Coming into this thing, when you first begin to prophesy and to obey God, we have to make a decision. Are we here to serve God or are we here to serve man?
That's right.
And we have to get that issue settled right up front. Because once you start compromising for man,
mm-hmm.
you will continue to compromise. And, there's no room for compromise in this, because surely as you do, you'll wind up at holding the short end of the stick. And that's not God's best.
Well, that's what the integrity is that you were talking about, that you've got to be willing to take, a good response or one that's not so good. You've got to be willing to stand for truth regardless, just regardless. And we were saying earlier today that we will probably do another program that will be about the negative side. But today we'll just talk about what it takes. But as far as the negative side goes, I know one thing. If people are talking about what might be a false prophet or false revival, I don't want my name to be the first one that comes to their list, right?
I don't mind being second or third, but I wouldn't want to get
caught. I know you would mind being second or third, too. I mean, everybody that wants to be a true expression of God's heart and a demonstration of his power. You know, it's doing the best they can to do that, and we're all human. Only Jesus was perfect. But thank you, Lord, that that he is willing to meet us more than halfway, and he sustains us, and he keeps us from falling off the edge of his hand. You know, he really does all the supernatural stuff. It's not that hard, really, to be a prophet. You just have to have the integrity. You have to be called, and you have to be willing to stand even when it's not popular.
Well, you know, when God first called me to this ministry, I laughed. I laughed like Sarah did in the Bible. I said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "Do you know who you're talking to, God?" I said, "Hello, this is Kurt Daigle here." And you know, I had a lot of faith in myself. And but, you know, God knows those things are inside of us that we don't even know. And I just stepped out one day, just simple childlike faith. Scared, yes, but I stepped out anyway, and it's been a wondrous thing. I've watched God speak to governors, dignitaries, district attorneys, people from all walks of life. Even today, I was able to prophesy to a lady. She's an apostle. She's pretty well known. And while she was talking, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Ask her if you can prophesy to her." And I asked her, and she said, "Yeah." And back when I got done, she said, "Well, those are the very things that God had been speaking to me about." And it was about her year 2010. And she said, "I just want you to know, I don't let just anybody prophesy to me." I thought, boy, I'm glad I passed that test.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was an awesome thing, and you know, you just have to be willing to step out. You don't have to be a person of great, great faith. You know, it does help very much to have an intimate prayer life with Jesus. That's probably the single most important thing in my life that I had. And
that's right.
I really didn't know how to pray, so what I did, I told the Holy Spirit, said, you're going to have to intercede. And I just began to pray in tongues. And I did it for hours. Of course, not everybody can do that, so everybody's situation is different. But in my time, I had a lot of idle time. And as I began to seek the Lord in tongues, all of a sudden, those things that were within me just began to come forth. And I didn't have to work it up. I'd have to go stand on top of a church steeple. God just showed up. And then my preaching began to be the same way. I'll never forget it. I was going to a prison to preach a church service. And I had my hand on the steel door, and I was walking in. I was a little bit scared because I didn't have a message. And I told the Lord, you know, I'm very, very open with the Lord. We have a very straightforward relationship. And I said, you know, I don't like this. He said, well, it doesn't really matter what you like. He said, you have a tendency to be a controlling and manipulating person.
Oh, my.
I thought, boy, thanks a lot. And he said, if I let you do what you want, I'll never be able to minister effectively to the people. And
oh,
that's
my.
All he told me. And I walked back there and opened up the service, and I mean the word and the power of God just came forth just under that anointing, that unction, that direct divine inspiration. And we saw results, people getting saved and God speaking to people prophetically. And it's just, it's been a glorious trip. It's sometimes, there's been a few bumps in the roads, but you know what? I wouldn't trade this for anything.
And just why?
There's something about knowing God, the heart of God. First off, this is how it works. It's first you ministering to God, you and him alone, in that secret, that intimate place where nobody else can come. And out of that relationship, you develop the heart of God, which is love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And without those two things, there's no use in going into this.
That's right.
Because a prophet is one that shares the heart of God to people. God loves people so much. He treasures every human being with such great value that he wants to impart a now word into their life, into their season. Because many people are needing to hear confirmation. God, am I hearing you right?
Mm-hmm.
God, show me. And you know what? God's faithful. And it's awesome when God steps into a person's life and gives them a word. And I'm going to tell you, I've had them break down and cry in front of me, mm-hmm. saying, how did you know that? And it's the Holy Ghost. We all, you know, all true Christians have the Holy Ghost, that spirit that bears witness. Well, he bears witness with our spirits, and as we speak that word, it bears witness to them because God's already spoken to the person. And so all we are is oracles, the voice of God speaking into the earth. That's all we are. It's not of us. We can't say, oh, look at me. Well, I can be the first to tell you, I don't have a thing to do with it. I simply made myself available like you have. God, here I am. Do you want to speak to somebody? And God's always wanting to touch his creation. And it's done off the basis of one thing, and that's love.
And I think one thing that some people don't understand is that prophets do a whole lot besides talk. It's, a lot of it is done in silence or in the prayer closet or in the back of the church or something. I'm always asking God, how much of this should I say and how much of it should I pray? Because we have been given, and all prophetic people, I believe, have an extra dimension of power to declare and decree what God wants. To establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We can agree with God. The Bible says his eyes are looking to and fro over all the earth for someone to agree with him, to intercede. And as we do that, as we agree with him, then he's able to release mighty angels who release his will on earth as it is in heaven, his will to be done at that time. And we've just had a good time talking about this quantum physics lately, how they've realize that as people expect or as they speak things or even expect things with faith, or they might not be believers at all, that matter actually forms even as believers speak and expect things. It's not just when God himself spoke things into existence or when Jesus did, but we've got more and more evidence from quantum physics, which God created that also, that it's what we speak that makes things happen on the earth. And I've always said we speak our own futures into existence, whether we speak negative or positive. We are speaking our own futures into existence.
Well, you know, God spoke. He framed the world by his word.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke. He let the sound waves go out into the universe, and the Holy Ghost hovered over the face of the deep, and he brought to pass the word of the living God. And even, too, we're created in his image and his likeness. I'm not saying we're God. I'm saying we're children of God, and we're to imitate our Father according to Scripture. Well, when we speak, in other words, when a prophet speaks the word of God, the word of the Lord to someone, if it's God speaking, there will be a power that will be released.
That's right.
And I'm going to give a couple examples here just so your listeners will understand and know. When a true prophet of the Lord speaks, there's going to be a power, there's going to be a release of energy and divine glory.
That's right.
That goes forth. I remember, I think I might have shared this on a previous program. There was a lady at church. She was a rather tall lady, and I didn't know anything about her. I was sitting in the back of the church. I liked the back for whatever reason. And anyway, she was on the last row on the other side, and she stood up requesting prayer, and she said she had to go for a test Tuesday in Houston, Texas. And Houston has some wonderful doctors there. Anyway, while she was talking, I heard the Holy Spirit say, ask the pastor if you can prophesy to her. Now, notice right there that the Holy Spirit knows the chain of authority. He said, ask the pastor. And after she got through talking, I asked him, and he smiled and said, yes. So I turned to the lady, and I said, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says, when you go for those tests on Tuesday, they'll come back totally clean. There will be nothing on them. Well, long story short, a week and a half later, the pastor calls me and begins to share with me the story. He said, you didn't know that this lady had a brain tumor behind her right eye. And she was going back for retests. Well, when she went back, the doctors run tests, I guess, to see what they were going to do. And that brain tumor was totally gone. Now, what happened? Was it my word that I spoke? No. The word that I spoke from God by the power of the Holy Ghost, when that word was released to that woman, a miracle took place. The Holy Ghost fulfilled and brought to pass that word that God spoke. Did I know what I was going to speak? No. I mean, you know, he could have said, you know, you're tall and ugly. But, I mean, he spoke a divine word, a word of what he wanted to do. And you know what? I don't think it even depended upon her faith. I believe that when God spoke that word, the power of the Holy Ghost touched that woman, and in one instant, that brain tumor was totally gone.
That's right.
And so if we will choose to step out, we can watch the power, the glory, the majesty of Almighty God through Jesus Christ be revealed to God's people. And it's up to us. Are we going to obey? There's times that I haven't obeyed. I have to be really honest with you. There are times that I held back that I shouldn't have. And some of these people have died. Were they saved? Some of them weren't. I have to be really honest. And I tell you what, it's a heart-shaking thing to know that you were supposed to speak a word. Now, if they reject the word, that's them. That word is on them. Once they hear the word, it's up to them what they're going to do with it. But our job is just to speak. Not trying to figure God out, not being concerned, well, am I being right? Is this word right? You speak the word, and I'm telling you, they will come to you and tell you that word was so accurate.
Right.
It's phenomenal.
I love the look in their eyes and the expression on their face when you either quote them, you're, quote, reading their mail, or you're giving an answer to a question that they came with, or you're releasing them from some supposed power of darkness that they have believed is holding them back. And I think because they believe it is, it seems to really hold them back. Or you release them to go ahead with the vision that God's given them. And just, you know, to watch them and God connect, even though he's using my mouth, it's just awesome. It's just awesome, and it's such a privilege to be able to speak into people's lives and say, yes, that was God, and yes, he is going to equip you. He's going to give the funding. He's going to bring the connections that you need. And, of course, there might be some tutoring along the way where he'll have you in school, teach you and train you for the job.
Well, that's just part of it. I mean, any task that you're given, there's a time of preparation and training. And the hardest thing, and I do mean this, the hardest thing was for me to have to wait, because I have the Class A personality, let's get her done now, you know, and I like action. I don't like things that are quiet, and I like activity, and because I know God's always moving, he's always doing something, and there comes a time of preparation where we have to sit and listen. We have to watch and observe. And you have to be willing to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you find out if you called you or if you chose you or if God chose you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was telling this lady today that I prophesied to, I said, you know what? If you called you, you can quit. But if God has called and chosen you, you can't quit, because the Holy Spirit is working so great in the life of that person, like in me. Because I tell you, I could have quit every day. but he would never let me quit. I told God, I said, leave me alone. I said, man, I can't take this. But see, you have to be willing to go through the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I told God, had I had known what I had to go through, because I was filled with pride, arrogance, conceit, you know, selfish ambition, all the things that God dislikes and hates, they were in me. And God didn't condemn me. He just said, that stuff's got to come out.
Well, and the wonderful thing about our Father, though, he's got a personal custom-designed school for each one of us to go through that's individually designed to take care of each one of our weaknesses. And I think people need to be warned up front. It's just like your natural daddy, if he was a good one. But God will let you go through things in order to train you. And I believe he's doing us a favor. He lets us go through things that are difficult, but I believe he's got them on a graduated level so that one thing prepares us for the next. And we learn to have confidence in him, to be utterly dependent on him, and to know that he's got our best interest at heart. It's been many years ago, I was trying to think if it's about 30 years ago, that I was drug up in front of the student council at Georgia Tech. And they had me there, and I didn't even know what the charges were. But they were like, what are you doing on campus, and what is this about? And I couldn't think what I could have done wrong because I was part of a legitimate campus organization. Then it hit me. They didn't know that. And so my partner said, who do you think we are? And they said, Moonies. And I said, no, no. In fact, we weren't even trying to be prophetic then. We were with Campus Crusade. But I said, you know, this is just the tiniest bit like what Paul felt, you know, when they would drag him up in front of the Sanhedrin or somebody, you know, and accuse him of things. I said, God's just getting me started, you know, knowing what it's like to be hauled up in front of some kind of group that's going to accuse you of things. And, you know, and sometimes it might even be true and they just disagree with it. But I've asked several people to call in tonight. Some of them are already listening. I hope they'll push that little one on their telephone and let us know that they're ready to tell a story, because we've all got stories of things that God let happen in our life as he is training us to be a prophetic witness in the end times. You know, we've all got those stories.
I've got a question for Kurt, if he...
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Well, I'm just trying to... I'd like to know what your first word was that you knew that God had given you for somebody. And how did you know? Had you seen somebody in maybe in your congregation prophesy before? Or was it totally brand new to you? Or how did you get introduced to it?
Well, the pastor that was over me, Pastor Perry Gaspard of Abundant Life Fellowship in Lake Charles, he had a lot of prophetic people come through, and I always marveled at the prophet. But I was introduced to Christian International down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, then Santa Rosa, Florida, which where Carlotta used to live nearby. Well, we went there, and there were some activations that took place in Baton Rouge. They had what they would call the School of Spirit. And in the school, they would teach you out of a manual. And at the end of every lesson, there was what they had a time of activation. And there was activation and prophecy. And what they did, they had like different groups all over the auditorium. And I'll just say five for a number. They'd have five groups, and they had a chair. They had people stand in a circle, and they had a chair, and one person in that circle had to sit in that chair. And that person had to prophesy to everybody in that circle. And it, you know, it really wasn't as scary as it sounds. But, and it was amazing how accurate the word was, because I always go back and ask them. I like to know, was it accurate? And he said, man, it was right on. And it was the same way with them. They just had the opportunity, the setting was very, very, it's very laid back setting, you know. everybody was entitled to make mistakes and ask questions or whatever. And so there was great liberty there. Nobody was under pressure. We weren't trying to perform. We were learning.
So it was teamwork?
Yes, it was in prophecy and as well as, you know, let's say a word of knowledge. You know, we would hear or see something and we'd relate to that person. And then we'd ask them, was that right? And, of course, it was. I don't know of anybody that missed it. And the activations were very simple. And it just blossomed from there. I didn't really go looking around for people to prophesy. All of a sudden, I started hearing the voice inside of me, ask a person if you can prophesy to them. Well, I know it's not the devil. And I know it's not me, so it has to be the Holy Spirit. Because, see, when I first got into this, I made this initial belief system stick. I will prophesy to no one unless God tells me. I settled that issue at the very beginning. Because you don't want to just give out a word unless you know for sure that's God.
Amen.
And so, because see, that's how some people get in trouble. They're not dependent upon God. They're dependent upon themselves. And that's where error can creep in. And it's not as difficult as it seems. And like I said, it would be just like general words. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing the voice of God saying, go to so-and-so and prophesy to him. And matter of fact, this one is so outlandish. It's phenomenal. We were having the Louisiana governor's race. Bobby Jindal, which is our present governor, he was running for office. I'm driving around the bypass around Lake Charles, Louisiana, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to prophesy to Bobby Jindal. I told the Lord, I said, God, come here. Come listen. He's on the east side of the state, God. How am I going to talk to Bobby Jindal? You know, God, he gives me a simple command, and you either obey it or you don't. So I said, well, I guess I can call the office. So I called direct assistance, got in touch with the office, and the girl answered the phone, and I said, she said, what's this in regard to? I said, well, I'm a prophet. I have a word for Bobby Jindal. Well, I know she wanted to hang the phone up because you could hear the pin drop. She transferred me over to his chief of staff, and he wasn't there, so I left a message. I said, my name is Kurt Dagle. I'm a prophet. I work for Bobby Jindal. Well, the next day he calls back, and my wife and I were eating supper, and he said, how can I help you? I said, well, I'm a prophet. I have a word for Bobby Jindal. And he said, and? I said, he'll be the next sitting governor of the state of Louisiana. He bust out laughing. He said, well, I hope you're right. So a couple weeks passed. He was coming to Lake Charles on a bus tour, and the Lord told me to call the local office, and I did. And the Lord said to ask him when he's going to be in town. I mean, it was all just so clear, just like I'm talking to you now. And it's never audible. It's always the inward witness. So anyway, he came to Lake Charles. He gave his speech. I let everybody go up, and I walked to him. I walked up to him and said, sir, I said, I have a word from God. Do you want to hear it? And he smiled. He nodded his head. I said, thus says the Lord, you'll be the next sitting governor of the state of Louisiana, and this is how you're going to know that God put you in this office. It's going to be a landslide election.
That's
man,
awesome.
His face lit up, and he smiled at me. He shook my hand, and he said, we took a picture.
Oh,
well,
wow.
After the day after the election, the Baton Rouge Advocate paper prophesied, says, Bobby Jindal wins by landslide vote.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it was so awesome. And that's just one of the highlights. That was
when God cared, didn't he?
He really did. And he wanted Bobby Jindal to know, I put you there.
That's
you didn't
right,
put
yeah.
you there. You're going to be one of my stewards. You are going to be
awesome.
a man that will speak in my behalf. And you know what? He's making changes. He's a very straightforward person. And he's God's man. Is he spirit-filled and all that? I don't know. But you know what? God will use an ungodly man. He will use a sinner. God will use anything to get his word across and to get his plan across. If God can't find a man of God, he will take a sinner, and he will use that person for his glory. Nobody else can do that but God.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. God used the jawbone of a jackass. He can use people like me. You know, that sounds kind of silly, but it's true. Look, God's desperate. He's hiring people. He's looking for somebody that will stand up and love him and represent him. And I've seen this type of thing over and over. And I'm going to tell you, I've had people stand in front of me. And I want you to listen to the average person, what they think about God. They think he's a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
They think he's out to kill everybody. They think that God's mad at them. I'm going to give you this example. One day when I was working the oil field, I was on a barge being floated out to an island. I had my 18-wheeler on that barge, and I had a welder with his little welding truck. We got to talking, and I said, if you could hear God speak, would you like to hear what God says? He said, no. I said, really? I said, well, do you mind if I ask you why? He said, I feel like God's mad at me.
Mm.
Now, this is what most people think about God. They think that God's mad. Look, God hates sin, but he loves his creation. And all he wants to do is have the opportunity to change them, to have them become born again, filled with his spirit. Because God knows that when his spirit gets in somebody and they truly are saved, that is a work that can be completed by God alone. And anyway, and I told this guy, I said, look, God's not mad at you. I said, God loves you. He said, okay. He said, go ahead. I thought, boy, that was a fast change.
People like good news.
And I prophesied to him, and he was standing in front of me. He was fighting back the tears. Now, we're talking about a guy in his probably late 40s. He's standing there fighting back the tears. He knew that God was speaking to him. God was reading his mail.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Come to find out, he was a backslidden Christian going through divorce. And he just wanted to know that God loved him and that God cared about him. And you know, there is so much misrepresentation of God in the earth.
Oh, I agree.
There's a lot of preachers, and I'm not putting them down. But first off, they don't have a revelation of the love of Jesus Christ for people.
Or his grace.
Or his precious grace.
Mm-mm.
People say, well, grace is favor. True, grace is favor, but grace is also the power of God shining upon our hearts, reflecting back in his life. It's the power of God to do what we can't do, because you know what? We can't do squat without God. We can do nothing. And you don't hardly ever hear messages on grace. God is the loving, perfect Father. And Jesus is the perfect Lamb of sacrifice. And when we commit to him, all I can say is move over, devil, because you just lost. Because see, God's the only person who knows how to change us. We can't change ourselves. That's pride. God, in his love and his mercy, God's speaking to people right now, Carlotta and Teresa. God loves you so much. He wants you to be involved in what he's doing. He's wanting his people to come to the forefront and to minister in his behalf. You don't have to have a college education. I didn't even graduate from high school. Didn't go to seminary. I don't have a doctorate degree. But you know what? That's not what God's looking for.
No.
He is looking for a heart that's full of love and a heart that's just willing. That's all he's wanting. You have to be willing to do what he tells you to do. And if you don't know, just tell him, God, I don't know. And he won't be mad at you. because he knows where you're at spiritually.
Already.
God will never put anything on you that you can't handle. But I'm going to tell you something, people. Listen to me very well. God wants to make you a mighty man and a mighty woman of valor. He wants you to be able to stand against any test, any storm, any amount of rejection with your face like a rock, unmovable. He wants you to be a vessel that has standard, that has a strong belief, and that will not be moved away from God just because of temptation, just because of accusation. You see, God is totally different than we are. God wants to make you hard against sin, but soft and pliable to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
We got some good chances to operate in that lately. I think we've both had opportunities to look at Jezebel's spirit in the eye recently. And, you know, after you go through this a number of times, and of course, the Jezebel spirit's job is to tear down the prophetic and anything that's got to do with the current moves of God and the Holy Ghost moving afresh in a congregation or in an individual. That's their job. But we learn to love the people and hate the stronghold. To hate the Jezebel activity, but to love the people. And that's how God wins. You know, he always outloves everybody. And I just believe that God lets us go through some of these things so that we can learn to be love to folks,
well,
even when they're not being love.
I need to share the story of what happened to me a couple weeks ago, Carlotta.
Just don't name any names.
No, I will not name any names. I was invited to do a Holy Ghost pep rally for prophets and apostles that were wanting to quit, to give up. Well, in this service, the lady prophet, she's a friend of mine, her and her husband were going to be ordained apostles. Well, they asked me to open up the service, and I didn't know they wanted to have a Holy Ghost pep rally. I came to give the people something that they could walk away with still chewing, something that would help them. Anyway, I started ministering, was ministering about 20 minutes. One of the lady that was there, her and her husband, they had ordained this friend of mine, her husband. She gets up in the middle of the service while I'm preaching, and she walks over to me. She said, "You're done." She said, "Give it up now." She turns around and goes and sits back down. I got the congregation looking at me like, "Dude, what are you going to do, shoot her, slap her? You going to stand there and take that?" And listen, if you know me, what I used to be, I'd have slapped that woman in a heartbeat. I'd have put her in her
little room. Rooster.
Yeah.
Little rooster hair.
But you know something? I was in shock that it happened.
Well, I would have been too, man.
But you know what? It hurt me. It really embarrassed me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I wanted to quit. A part of me wanted to quit. But there's something so deep on the inside of me. And I had to wind up forgiving her for what she did. You know, I had to be real honest. I wanted to call fire down from heaven. Come on. We all have a carnal nature. We all have
you
a nature.
And she didn't call you baldy, did she?
No.
Like Elijah.
Oh, man, look. I'd have had the wolves show up. But all seriousness, really, you have an option right there. You have one of two options. Either make a scene right then and there and ruin my reputation, or turn around and just walk away. I chose to walk away, and yes, it hurt me greatly. Carlotta knows. But thank God I had people around me that were able to speak into my life and were able to get me to be able to see the whole picture. See, it really wasn't about me. They just rejected God. Mm-hmm. That's all they did.
And do you think it was a test, Kurt?
Sure it was. It was a test from God. God allowed it to happen. He didn't ordain it, but God uses everything for our good.
Well, how about this, Kurt? I believe that God was giving you a chance to illustrate, to demonstrate the exact message that you were giving, because you were trying to encourage people that were being ordained to the ministry or going to be or were in the ministry that it's tough out there, and you're encouraging them, and you're encouraging them, you know, you can overcome, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and all this. And then somebody comes up and almost, you know, she didn't physically slap you, but it was kind of like a slap in the face, and you got to demonstrate it. That not everybody appreciates your ministry, but you'll still do fine. You know, you just yield to the person that's in authority, whether they're right or wrong, and you come out a glory to Jesus' name. And people there probably wanted to hear more of your message of how to stay encouraged while you're in the ministry. But actually, God said, well, let's just show them.
Yep. And you know what? For me to react the way I did, it was an all-out miracle. I tell you, if that had been years ago, I'd have just hauled off and slapped her and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I felt good. But you know, and I say that jokingly, but, you know, you kind of find out how far you've come along in God. God allows you to see what you used to be and what you are now.
Oh, I
know.
And you know what? I'm glad that happened. Because all she did, she put me up for promotion. She didn't even know it.
Blessed are the persecuted. I'm serious. Blessed are the persecuted.
Yes. And so, God, there's always going to be tests. There's always going to be assignments that are going to come our way. And if you don't react in the right manner, there will be a retest. And there will be a retest. And you're going to go around that mountain.
That's right.
Until you do it right.
Well, and the tests get bigger, but they're still for our own good. I was in the prophetic, I guess, 7 years or so before anybody tried to kill me. And I won't go into that story, but because I've faced death half a dozen times, I mean the real thing where there's real evidence that somebody tried to kill me, I've become a tough old bird. I'm willing to give the word of the Lord regardless of what someone else thinks. And sometimes what prophetic people do is we're not trying to expose and unmask people, but sometimes we're exposing error or a demonic spirit or a counterfeit, a false something, and they don't like it. And they don't like it. But God promised me that I would be on this earth as long as He wanted me to be, that my life was not in their hands. And so we have to learn to protect the people and to speak truth. And in this case, I wasn't trying to run out and expose anybody, but I was standing for truth when it wasn't popular, which is often the case. But then it becomes more popular because people can recognize it once somebody takes that stand. I know we've got a caller or two that are hanging back here. I hope they'll push that one and share their story. Because, like Paul said, you know, the worst persecution, it wasn't so much being stoned or almost drowned or, you know, whipped so many times and shipwrecked. It was when the house of God, somebody in the house of God comes against you. So I was glad you shared that story. But I know there are more of them out there, and I want to give people an opportunity to share them tonight. Because people need to know that we lived through it just fine. It may have taken us a few days to cool off. But we lived through it just fine, and we're happy that we represented the kingdom of God as a good ambassador instead of getting, I was going to use one of my old phrases here, let me think of something else, instead of getting all out of sorts, focusing on ourselves and how we look, because I'm in this for the long haul, and I know you are too. It's the effect it has on real people and the effect it will have on the kingdom of God and for eternity that I care about, not just that it hurt my feelings for a few days, you know.
There's a man by the name of Jonathan that's listening tonight. I think you're disgusted. You know, you said, you know what, I've had enough. I'm done with people. And Jonathan, listen, those are the people that God sent you to help. And if you quit, who else is going to do it? You know God's called you. You didn't call you. God called you. He chose you. And you can't quit. And if you try to walk away, you're going to be the most miserable person. You can't quit. And see, if you don't quit, you're going to see the fruit that you've desired. But the enemy has warned you and warned you because of the people that are talking behind your back. And you know what you need to do tonight, Jonathan? You just need to love them. You just need to pray. God, have mercy upon them. Show them your love. And, sir, if you will do that, God will turn the thing around for your good. Everything is a lesson. Listen to wisdom, sir. Everything that we go through is a lesson. Either we pass or we fail. And you're the pastor of a large church. Where are you going to go? How will you live with yourself if you run? You can run from God, you can't hide. And the devil knows where you're at too. And you'll never be able to live with yourself knowing that you quit. Sir, you can't quit. Your wife is telling you, you can't quit. And there's strife between you. Sir, I'm going to tell you something. I'll be married 34 years, a third of this month. Listen to your wife and listen to God. Don't listen to your flesh. Don't listen to the old man. Listen to the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. I give a witness to that. I give a witness to that. I know that's true.
Awesome. God gave you a word tonight. Run with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. No matter what happens, don't quit and don't give up. Because you want to hear the words from Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thus says the Lord, my beloved Son, I've told you that I would never leave you nor forsake you. I told you that I would be with you in time of trouble. And the Lord says, because you've set your love upon me, I will deliver you. I will honor you. I will give you long life. The Lord says, don't be afraid of your enemies. Pray for them, love them, and do them good. For the Lord says, commit this thing to me, and I will bring to pass the ultimate purpose. And God says it'll make you a greater man because you chose to be obedient to my Holy Spirit than to listen to the voice of reason. The Lord says, I have kept my hand upon you all the way up to this point. And the Lord says, do you think, Jonathan, that I'm going to turn away from you and not help you? But the Lord says, trust in me. And I'll bring to pass all the things that are in your heart. But the Lord says you must walk in love. For that is the foundation of life, is to walk in love. Love the ungodly. Love them. Cherish them. Walk up to your enemies and hug them and tell them how much I love them. And God says, surely love covers a multitude of sin.
Of
the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And for anyone else out there that thinks they've sinned too many times and failed too many times, you have not exhausted the grace of God.
No.
You have not. What you have not done is not stronger than the blood. The blood hasn't lost its power. It's not stronger than the cross. You can still take all those fleshly patterns to the cross and say, Jesus, you know, I keep trying to crucify this myself and I can't do it. And ask Jesus to do it, to really bring it to death. All he asks is that you agree with him and hate sin and love him. And he wants us to be that dependent, really. He knows we are. It's about time we knew it. You know, I just can't do it myself and become totally dependent. And I think that's another mark of prophetic people. We just have come to realize how totally we dependent we are. We just can't do anything separated from Jesus in our thinking. We have to know that we're dependent.
You know, some people think it's a sign of weakness. It's not. It's a sign of strength. When we can trust the word of another, that's a sign of great strength and character. It really is. And you can't depend upon your own ability. Because you know what? God's the only one that can change it. So we just keep our eyes on him.
And I know that there are people listening tonight that have trusted in the Lord with all their heart. And yet, when they began to trust in people as well that were supposed to be ministers, were supposed to be prophetic, were supposed to be on their side, and then they found out that they were not really on their side, whether they were genuinely deceived or whether they wanted to be deceived, and they were so bitterly disappointed when they found out that here we thought we had prophetic allies in these people, and then they were the false. And I'm talking about personal friends, not just famous people or something. When you get that bitter disappointment and you've invested time and you've invested everything you've got into these folks, and then you find out they're really on the dark side. They're not even on our side. They were infiltrators or they were used by the devil in some way to just bring serious disappointment and depression into your life. And I hate to say it, but God knows best, and he really lets these things happen. But in my case, I know that I know. I'm going to have some true confessions here, too, like Prophet Kurt. I know that some of the major disappointments that I have had in my life, I would not have had if there had not been some area of compromise, because we all want to be loved and admired and appreciated by people. But if we let compromise come in, then we are set up. And they can disappoint us because we're actually either in a relationship that God didn't ordain, or perhaps sometimes we're just in a deeper level than God ordained. And I just encourage people over and over, I'm always telling them, ask God what level of relationship this is supposed to be. Because sometimes if we hadn't moved so fast or we hadn't moved in so deep, then we wouldn't have been so disappointed. You know what I mean? Because you can make too strong a covenant with someone, and then when they fall or you find out they weren't the real thing at all, then you're set up for more and more disappointment. You know what I'm talking about?
That's the problem with some of these preachers that are falling today. And we've had some televangelists, they've fallen. One of them was, or actually was several of them through sexual sin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the church have placed these people on such a high pedestal that when these preachers fell, I know some people have fell with them. They gave up. They said, mm-hmm. Well, if they can't live it, then how can I live it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
And we should never, never, people, and don't anyone ever elevate me just because I say I'm a prophet. You never elevate me to be near God. Because you know what? We prophesy in part. We know in part. We don't know everything. God knows it all. And it's good to admire people. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with respecting people. But if you put all your faith, if you put your faith in man, you're going to be disappointed. Because you're not to trust in man. Because man, when he's in a bind, he's going to turn. He could turn on you. But you know what? God will never
turn.
That's right. So, again, and then, see, that's what's wrong with this. All these revivals that are supposed to have taken place. I think we've got our eyes too much on men. Revival is a personal thing. And people, you don't have to run to Brownsville. You don't have to go to Toronto or Florida, wherever. If you're looking for a relationship with God, if you're looking for revival, it's only a prayer away. With simple childlike faith, I can honestly say I didn't have to go anywhere to get the fire of God that's within me, this love and this passion. I went straight to God, and you know what? In a quiet place, he gave me what I wanted, and he showed me how much he loved me, and he revealed to me that I was already forgiven. and those revelations brought me such peace and joy, I don't have to go here to look for a word. I don't have to go and chase every wind of doctrine that the church is putting out. And ladies and gentlemen, not everything that's out there is of God. It's not.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, seek God on your own. Work out your own salvation with all fear and trembling. Listen to radio programs like this and grasp the knowledge, because what you're hearing is just not hearsay. What you're hearing from us tonight is true meanings, true situations have changed. Because, see, many of you are cold, you're burnt out, and I, Carlotta, we've all been there. But what I'm telling you is you don't have to stay that way. You can have this fiery, one-on-one intimate relationship with God. But it's up to you. But see, most people don't know how to do it, Carlotta. They have no idea about how to have a relationship with God.
Well, and they become dependent on people because they have misconceptions about what it means to be sent, too. Now, we've talked on several programs about that secret place and how the real productivity in our lives is done in the secret place, not when we get out and do what we can do in our talents and strengths. But there's one of the pitfalls that I had to watch out for and was falling for was a belief that I had to be sent by somebody. Now, don't hang up yet. You all listen, hear me out. It is good to be mentored, and it's good to be taught, and it's good to be humble and to learn from the elders in the faith and to have fathers and mothers in the faith, and it's good to be accountable and all that. But on the other hand, some people become so dependent on their leadership that they're not doing any ministry. They forget all about the fact that you can go up and down the street witnessing. You can disciple people without being a sent person with a big title or be a fivefold minister. They forget that ministry is serving people. That's what the word means. And you don't have to be sent across the continent or, across the waters or something like that. You don't have to be formally sent out by your church. You're sent by God. You have a great commission. And we learn in the streets, just sharing people in the stores and in the parking lots. I mean, as much as we know and the experience we've got behind us, still that's a lot of what it is hugging the people right in front of you. And people need to remember it's not about having a title or a business card or a video. It's about learning to do what Jesus did. And he just went up and down the street meeting real needs. But it takes courage. You have to think about somebody else more than yourself.
Those words are hard to swallow. That's a true statement.
A lot of times our agenda for our whole day is about us and our success and what people want from us, like employers and family members and all that. But there comes a day, I think, in a prophetic person's life when you say, God, if you'll give me the time to do it, I want to be your voice. And he'll begin to give you more time. And I've told stories about how I went from working 5 days a week to 4 days a week. And then I went to school, and then all of a sudden I was full-time, and now I'm working more than full-time. But he, if you'll be a good steward of the time he gives you to really be love to people, whether it's random acts of kindness, teaching, pastoring, witnessing, evangelizing, discipling, whatever you do, serving, administration, but whatever you do, it's important to hear God. And if you will say, God, give me more time to serve you, he will.
I know that the church, the body of believers everywhere, they're depending upon their pastor to feed them, to burp them, to change their spiritual diaper. And the pastor's job is very, very easy to explain. It's to equip the believer with knowledge of who he is, what Christ did, and equip the believers for service. That's a pastor's job. It's not just hit pastor's job. It's not to go visit the sick. That's our job. The pastor's job is to study the word and prayer. That's what the pastor's job is. But see, we idolize these men behind the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
and we think that it's their job to do it all. That's why the church is not doing anything, because they say it's the pastor's job. No, it's not. The fivefold ministry job, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, their job was for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body so they can go out and do the work of the ministry. So what are we doing? What's the church doing? What are you doing in your church? Pastors, train the people and put them to work. Put them to work. You can't do it all. And marriages, the divorce rate is getting worse and worse in ministry leadership, because the leadership is trying to do it all, but can't. They're putting the church, they're putting everything above their family, and that's wrong. This is the way it's supposed to work: God, our family, and the church. And if you can't minister your family, then you can't minister the church. And I'm not putting people down. I'm just saying we need to get our priorities right. There are people out there right now saying, "How can I be revived in my spirit?" If you'll get a pen and paper, I will tell you these steps. They're very, very simple. Are you ready? Here it is. Number one, prayer. Preferably in tongues. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, ever speak in other tongues, I want to encourage you to make that a top priority in your life. And begin to pray. Say, "Holy Spirit, pray me through. I don't know what to pray for. Pray through." Number two, praise and worship. You don't need a stereo. You don't need CDs. That's fine if you have them. But you know what God really wants, people? You know what He really wants from you? To hear the words out of your lips saying, "Father, I love you. I think you're the most awesome person in the entire universe." That will do more to God than perhaps anything else, because God is about relationship. What you going to do? Zero plus zero is still zero. If you put nothing into a relationship, you're going to get nothing out of it. God is waiting for His people to respond. God just desires friendship and relationship. That's all He wants. He doesn't need you to impress Him with all of your money, with all of your position, with all of your clothes, your house, your fancy cars. That doesn't impress God. He wants you. That's all He cares about. So prayer, praise and worship, and simple childlike faith. God wants to give you all the desires of your heart. And probably all the desires in your heart that are good, He put them there to begin with.
Amen.
Everything. But when you were born, He put everything that you need for life and godliness. He put it in you. But if you think that God's just going to do it all, that you're just going to go to a meeting and everything is always going to be perfect and fine, I hate to bust your bubble, but that won't last long. What you going to do after 6 months? You go to a revival and God touches you. You're going to walk and float on that cloud for 6 months, if that long. Then what's going to happen then? If you don't know how to maintain or obtain from God, you're going to go back to your pathetic way of life. You're going to live a humdrum life. You're going to have no excitement, no fire, no passion. You're not going to have anything between you and God, and God's going to see Him a million miles off. I guess what I'm trying to tell you, you got to make the first move. Get in your room. Get alone. Run everybody out of the house, or you leave the house. and just walk around just telling God, I love you, God. I don't know if I love you the way I should, but I love you. Because, see, I told God that. When I first got into this thing, I told the Lord straight up, said, you know, I love you, but I don't love you the way I should. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, that's okay. I'll take care of that. See, he takes care of the love, too. But, see, you have to know. You have to know that God loves you, because if you don't, you're always going to shy away.
That's it.
You have to know that God has a passion for you. And what I'm about to tell you is going to set many of you free. You're not going to be forgiven. You already are. God is not holding one of your sins against you. Satan and you are. And you're going to have to come to revelation and to the understanding that you are already forgiven. For when you know that, the bondages will fall off, because you see, sin loses its power when it can't condemn you. It can't bring you death. Sin has lost its power because it's who Jesus is and what he did. You've been declared not guilty. It's up to you to know it. And when you know it, all hell can come against you, and it makes no difference. You see, Carlotta and Teresa and I, we face things on a daily basis. We don't float around on a carpet and eat chocolate-covered locust and all that, those delicate foods. We have real lives. We have real families. We have real temptations. We have real trials. But we've learned the secret that in the midst, we still find time to love God and to pray. And when we commit our lives to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit through grace, people, all I can say, hold on, it's going to be a wild ride with God. Because he will show you who he is. And when you know who he is, it will forever change your belief system about God and about people.
Well,
that's
I think some people out there are thinking, you haven't said anything new. You haven't said anything we haven't already heard. But I think the difference is that prophetic people and prophets especially, they do it. So we think prayer is mostly listening to God, not mostly talking, first of all. Let's define some words here. Prayer isn't just a list. Prayer isn't just asking God for things. To a prophetic person, prayer is a whole lot of listening. And the more I listen, the more he'll tell me. And I just want to say that when you're talking about loving God and having such a passion for him, that results in a compassion for people. Your eyes are opened and you can see needs that are right in front of you that maybe you were too busy to see before, or you thought weren't any of your concern. But God begins to open our eyes with a new compassion. And even for those that hate us, it wasn't long ago at all that someone was just trying so hard to impress upon me, this person is a real witch and they're after you. And I just kept looking at them and said, but my job is to love them. It's not that I'm not aware of the situation. It's the only danger I can ever really be in is if I'm out of God's will. As long as I'm in God's will and I'm willing to let him love them through me, and I'm willing to say what he wants me to say and no more, by the way, then his will's going to be done in the situation, and he's got it all under control. And she was like, you just don't get it, do you? This person is a real witch, and they're after you. And I'm like, I'm not afraid of evil.
Amen.
First of all, I hope you're not right. I hope that they're just truly deceived, and, of course, a lot of witches are. I hope that they don't really knowingly understand everything that they're doing. But I said, my job's to love them.
Yep.
I'm not supposed to hate them. I don't run. I'm not afraid of evil. What were you thinking about being afraid of evil, Teresa?
I'm sorry, what?
What were you saying, amen, about not being afraid of evil.
Well, that's right. Not to be afraid of evil. And love that person. Just love them. And that's the strength, isn't it?
Well, that's what we're here for, really, is to be his love to others. Because anybody can hate evil.
Well, I'm reminded of the man that was hiding in the tombs. And he was cutting himself. And he comes to Jesus. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? And if you notice, Jesus did nothing but love the man. He set him free. He spoke the word, set him free. He clothed him. The man was back in his right mind. Most people that are in sin, especially in the real darkness, they're not in their right mind. They're not. I can't imagine anybody wanting to be a Satanist. I mean, that's pretty much deceptive, all out deceptive. And you know, I had a lady here a while back. I walked into an establishment, and I made a comment to her. I said, "Man, it's hot as hell outside." It was the peak of summer. It was August. If you know anything about Louisiana, in August, humidity's high, you can't breathe, and it's very
mosquitoes.
The Skeeters. We got Skeeters as big as 747 jet planes.
I'm serious. When I lived in New Orleans, I lived on the third floor, and I was happy to walk both stairs because I could sit out on my porch and not be eaten up by mosquitoes. And the wind, when it rains, it wasn't any good to carry an umbrella because the wind would just blow it inside out. Okay, now go on with those are just the normal days in Louisiana. Now what were you going to say?
Anyway, she made the comment. She said, "Oh, you're talking about where my daddy lives." I said, "Do what?"
Oh, my goodness.
She said, "Well, I'm Satan's princess." I said, "You know, what's his problem with me?" She said, "Well, one time, you had a halo on your head. It fell off and you grew horns. The horns have fallen off and you got your halo back and he doesn't like it." And you know what? This woman is just utterly deceived that Satan loves her. Love to take her to hell. Satan doesn't know how to love. God is love. And there are people out there, they're just deceived. They're just deceived.
That's right.
Anybody in the right mind wouldn't serve the devil. Am I putting them down? No, I'm just saying. You know, it's one thing to be a sinner, but it's another thing to swear allegiance to a lunatic spirit.
Well, and I think it's up to the church, to the believers, to demonstrate the power of God, because I think too many churches have said too long that God doesn't do that supernatural stuff anymore, so they've gone to another source for the supernatural. So we need to take responsibility for believing what we say we believe and not just believing God used to do this stuff. Because, well, one of the things that I do a lot of is helping people that used to be in the occult. And they would agree with you now, but at the time it was the most powerful thing that they knew of, or they had no choice, they weren't allowed to leave. But it's not that we can't have boundaries. I mean, I have told them, "I will help you, but you will never set foot on my personal property," things like that. But we need to demonstrate not only God's love, but his power in such a way that they can see. Like one told me, she said that when she was asked to pray for somebody to be healed in the name of Jesus, she said, "Well, it won't do any harm. There's no power there." And when that man got up and walked, she felt the power of Jesus, and she felt that it was stronger than what she had. And what a lot of people want is just power. They don't mind it being from Jesus. They've just never seen us demonstrate it in the name of Jesus. And once she did, she wanted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She went to a powerful church nearby, and she felt of the pastor's hands, And she could feel the power of Jesus in his hand. So there's a challenge for you. Can
wow.
you hold a non-Christian's hands or a Satanist's hands, and can they feel the power of Jesus in you is greater than what is in them?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a true statement. I was raised in a Protestant denomination. They said, well, God saves, but he doesn't do anything else. And I knew as a kid that wasn't right. And I've come to know this almighty, all-powerful God. And you know what? I'm sorry. Talk is cheap. It's time for the church to demonstrate the presence, the power, and the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
And I'm tired of religion. You know, they honor God with their lips, but their heart's far from him. They acknowledge God, but they deny his power. And I'm sorry. The people in the world, like Carlotta said, they're looking for power. They're wanting to know, is what you're saying about this Jesus, is it relevant for today? Can he change me?
That's right.
Can he help me?
Will he love me?
But yeah, does he love me? Because if he can't, if he doesn't, then you're wasting my time. Get out of my face.
And so they're going to test you, prophetic people,
sure.
to see if you're willing to love them. And just like any teenager will act out, and they'll test you, or if you're a new youth leader especially, you know how they'll test and test to see if you're going to last. Can you love me when I'm at my worst? And this is just part of the job. We have to love people and believe. And we have to believe in the power of God. God was showing me this before I was even out of the wilderness and back on the right track. I think I was telling Teresa just the other day. In mental health, I could see that even though I wasn't any great specimen of what a Christian is, I was a believer. I was headed in the right direction. Don't get me wrong. I just had a long ways to go. There's still a lot of deception in my life and self-love and shortcuts. But I knew that when I went into the room of a very severely a psychotic person or whatever, that they would calm right down. And it didn't take any time. Within 30 days, the very carnal, unsaved staff was putting me in charge of the psychiatric unit. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the education that they had, but they knew this person could be as violent as all get out, hitting solid wood doors and not even bruising their hand. I mean, just really scary violent. And I could walk along with them and they'd be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
They could be down on all fours barking. You know, acting like a dog or a wolf, and they would quit. And they started routinely assigning me the violent people.
Wow.
And it wasn't that I had any teaching or training about it. And I would ask God, what is it? Because you know I don't always live right. And he'd say, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only person here with Christ in you.
Wow.
And I agree with what Kurt was just saying about manifesting God's presence and anointing and power. I tell people all the time, I said, if we would all believers, even half of us, if we would demonstrate God's presence and power and anointing everywhere we go, we would not need so much warfare. People would be begging us, what have you got? I want it.
Mm.
I'm going to give an example. Teenagers and young people, they're looking for something that's real. One night, we lived in a two-story house, and I was downstairs. I had praise and worship going on. My two sons were upstairs, and the power and the presence of God got so strong in that den. I went upstairs. I got one of my sons, said, come down, I want you to feel this. And when he walked through the French doors, the power of God was so strong, you could feel it. And it was so phenomenal to him. He just couldn't get over. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's, you know, that's theologically great and, you know, walks. He's just a teenager or a young person. But that left an impression. He knew right then and there that he had walked into the presence of the supernatural living God.
And you know what that tells them? God's not dead.
Mm-mm.
If my dad can have this, I can have this. And young people today, preteens, teens, even young adults, they're just looking for something that's real. And be real honest with you, they haven't seen it in church. They've seen very little. That's why they're running to all this occult stuff. And you know what? That stuff is real. The dark side is real. But let me tell you something. The light and the power of God is even more real.
That's right.
Because see, Satan, he can't produce anything new. He's just a copycat.
That's right.
He's not a creator, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-mm.
God is creator.
Counterfeiter.
He's a counterfeiter. That's exactly right. All Satan can do is try to imitate God. God threw him out of heaven, showed him who was boss. He said, out of here. God is creator. He's demonstrator. He's the ultimate of all power, rule, might, and dominion.
Amen.
His glory is from everlasting to everlasting. The devil wishes he was like God.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be like God, but he'll never be like God.
That's right.
Because he's corrupt. Whereas the God that we serve is full of power, full of life. And that's one thing that turned me on about God. It's his power. He's all powerful. He's all loving. He's so great, but yet he humbles himself to talk to me.
Amen.
That tells you he's humble. People think that God is so far away. Ladies and gentlemen, he's only one word away. Because this room that I speak tonight is my office. And when I come into this office and I lift my hands and shut the door, the glory of the Lord settles in this room. And you can have that. I'm nobody special. I'm special to God, but so are you. And you can experience his presence. God wants you to experience that. Don't let religious people or religious spirits rob you of your inheritance with God.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't do it. Don't you dare throw away your birthright.
A religious spirit will always want to stop what the Holy Spirit is doing. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit getting in control. What if the Holy Spirit took over our church? We'd be ruined. You know, what if the Holy Spirit embarrasses me or whatever? But a religious spirit, instead of lifting Jesus Christ up and letting the Holy Spirit have its way, will cling to tradition or cling to what we used to do or want to manifest more or want people to manifest less or want it to be emotional or want it not to be emotional, be focused on all these things instead of just letting the Holy Spirit have his way. And that's what this thing is all about. I was just responding to someone in the chat room saying that Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord and Master, because it's all about letting God be God. He's the creator. We are accountable to him, whether we want to admit it or not, but it's a wonderful relationship. When you come into agreement, you finally have a Father that loves you perfectly. Isn't that what we all wanted? We wanted to be loved perfectly, and then he casts out your fears of that perfect love, and then he can trust us. As we trust him, he can trust us with the power that we have always wanted to live the life and walk the walk and talk the talk. We have healing for everything that needs healing. We have restoration for everything we've lost. He gives purpose. And even the choices that he made for us that we didn't like, we thought we were too tall or too short or too small or too big or not attractive enough or smart enough or strong enough or whatever it was, we begin to see the wonderful purposes and plans that God has for our life and how he's designed every last thing to all fit together for good. And it's wonderful to know that you're on track, that you're on purpose, and there is a design to your life, and that you're going to live forever and ever with a Father that loves you perfectly. And besides that, you don't have to be reincarnated over and over and get more chances. You don't have to be on a performance treadmill to earn it. In fact, you can't. That Jesus has already come and demonstrated, I'll do everything that it takes for you to be saved. But not only that, this is what most Christians still aren't getting. He will live the Christian life through us with his universal power. He's got all the knowledge in the world. He's got angels everywhere. He's got everything we need for life and godliness. And all we have to do is receive his love and let him be Lord of our lives. And it all comes together.
It's awesome. You know, one of my prayers for the church is that people would just say, you know what, Holy Spirit, it's your service. It's your deal. You do it. And I know, Carla, when I go into a place to preach, one of my first questions is, can the Holy Ghost have his way? Because if he can't, there's no use in me going. And you know what? I love it when I see a service committed to the Holy Ghost, because he always does things in honor. Well, not always, because some people get goofy. But I know that in my services, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate. He's the sole leadership of that service, and he has never failed me. I've watched him do miracles, signs, and wonders. I have seen the supernatural power of God, not the supernatural power of darkness. Darkness is not allowed in my services, but only the light and the goodness of God. And when we commit that to him, God will step in, and he will use us. He will do mighty and wonderful things for his people.
Would you explain that, Prophet Kurt? Explain to those that may not know how you can handle that. How can you say that darkness is not allowed in my services? Explain about that power and authority that prophetic people have.
Well, again, it comes out of relationship. When a person is sold out to the Lord, to the Holy Ghost, that person goes there with one intent, and the one intent alone, that God, I've come to serve you, and the Holy Spirit is a representation of you in the earth, and he operates strictly and solely in light and power and glory. You see, what the Holy Spirit does, he comes and acknowledges Jesus. That's his primary, to uplift Jesus, to glorify him. That's his work. And when a person's sold out, and they have to be sold out, they can't walk in fear. See, fear is darkness. And fear is a bottom line, along with pride, into people that are walking. That they're walking in total darkness. They're afraid. They're afraid to let go and to let God.
That's right.
And when a person is walking in the light, they have the love of God, which is the foundation for everything they do. They will speak the word of truth. And they will honor God. They will not honor themselves, but they will honor the one that has sent them and told them to speak. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
The sign of a true prophet is one that does not seek his own, but he seeks the one that sent him. He seeks to acknowledge Jesus as supreme, as the head of the church. He said, I've come to do your will, O Lord. And he will not glorify himself. He will not take the honor to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he will acknowledge Jesus as the sole power of everything that's going on in his life and the life of others.
And I'd like to give a few of the positive points about prophetic people and prophets, because some people are just plain scared of us. It was bad enough when I was a psychiatric nurse. They were scared of me thinking I would analyze everything. But now that I'm prophetic, you know, some people are like, well, isn't that just, you know, condemnation and gloom and doom? And I said, you know what? No. You know, many people that are listening even tonight have really been burned by spiritual leaders. They have been burned in church. They have been hurt, rejected, chewed up, spit out, and they're just not sure about anybody, and they're particularly not sure about what would prophets be like. But I'll tell you, from my point of view, what a prophet is like, because a prophet is really interested in you, what your gifts and callings are. See, and they're oftentimes don't have a church or anything to build. They're just genuinely interested in hearing God for you, what your gifts are, how you can get from here to there. They want to minister to you. They may have a ministry, but it's usually kind of itinerant ministry or something. They'll pray for you without ceasing. A prophet is someone that's not really threatened by your other relationships, because they're not trying to use you to build an empire anyway. And so they can willingly impart spiritual gifts, lay hands on you, like Paul's talking about, the spiritual gifts that you receive by the laying on of hands, and they can see God's plans and purposes for you. And so some of the ministries that some of you have been in, you know, they were stepping stones from one to another. You're not at your final ministry spot yet. But a prophet is free to see that and to not try to hold on to you or keep you from going on to the next thing. And they can impart courage to you to believe that God will do it through you, whatever the next step is, and give you words to restore your broken heart when somebody stomps on it, and be there for you, and you know, not have to hate the people that did you wrong, but they can come against the strongholds on your behalf while you're learning to how to tear down strongholds yourself. And yeah, they're not afraid of discipline and a little correction now and then. We have to take direction from God when He wants us to go places that we didn't plan on going. But it's all for your good, is what I'm trying to say. They'll deny themselves to get God's message to you.
That's right. That's good.
Because somebody did it for us, I guess is what I should add. Somebody did it for me. They believed in me. They said, one day you'll be doing what I'm doing, and sure enough, it came true. But they believed in me to their own hurt at a sacrifice, you know, without money, et cetera, et cetera. There wasn't any offering plate being passed. And while there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm happy to receive donations myself, I'm just saying that they, real prophetic people, will hear God for His vision for you, not how they would like to fit you in to using you to build their empire. I think some people have been guilty of that. They're building a business more than they are a church.
I've seen it over and over again. It's time for the integrity to come back into the offices of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And God, if people are not willingly giving up their plan, God's going to strip them of it. Because
it's an idol.
That's it. There's not much time left, ladies and gentlemen. This thing is coming to a rapid close. Mm-hmm. The dispensation of grace, the door, six and slam shut. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to be about the Father's business and bringing as many people to the kingdom as possible and training them so they can go out. We got to quit sitting down. We got to get up, open our mouth, and speak. Show love. Display this Jesus that we say we have. That's all. We have to be a demonstration of Jesus in the earth.
And we've got to be willing to work together. Some of the weaknesses that we've seen as we've moved to city over the years is we notice real quick whether fivefold ministers, whether the, you know, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are willing to work together, whether they'll even trust each other, much less the lost, you know, and their sheep, and whether they will support each other, whether they will willingly impart to each other, whether they're happy when the other one succeeds or maybe excels farther than they are. And this is a real true test if we can't get along with each other. And so we need to just cry out to God and ask God, give us a love for working with other leaders.
That's good.
I never knew there was such strife and petty foolishness in the church until I got in ministry. And I see jealousy, selfish ambition. I see envy. And this ought not be in the church. In the world, yes. But I don't know if it's a big revelation for people, but we're on the same team. did you know a prophet in a church is not to usurp authority over the pastor?
That's right. Over anybody, really.
Over anybody.
Here
a prophet.
To usurp anybody's
that's
authority.
That's it. The pastor is the head of the church of that local body. And an apostle, a prophet, has no right to go in and come against a pastor or go above his head, his authority, this level's authority. Why can't God's people accept that fact and work together? Man, we could get so much done if we just cooperate with each other.
Well, you hit it on the nose. I believe that it's a lot of it is jealousy, because another thing that prophetic people have to deal with is if you have a good, you know, strong training and grasp on what your gift is, and you're able to minister it in real agreement with the Holy Spirit, and the anointing is flowing and the power of God is flowing, somebody's going to be jealous.
Yep.
And we've got to know how to love them too, and just give them time. Give them time, because they'll see that jealousy does not get you ahead with God. You are not going to get down your race faster by being jealous of somebody that's running near you. We have all got to keep our focus on Jesus.
Well, you know, if we're jealous of one another, God can't use us to the full extent that he desires.
No.
And the way I look at it, if you're going to be jealous of somebody and you want to walk where they walk, then you're going to have to go through what they went through to get where they are. Because I'm going to tell you, a person that's anointed and a powerful person, they've been through a living hell. And the question you need to ask yourself for these people that are suffering with jealousy, do you want to walk where they walked? And most of them are going to say no. Then you don't have any right to be jealous, period. Because anointings and offices and giftings, they come with a price.
They do.
Are you willing to pay that price? Most
and that's what Catherine Kuhlman said, I paid the price.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with saying that, because there is a price to pay. Salvation is free. But if you want to get anywhere with God, if you want to do something for God, it's going to cost you, because you're going to have to give up a lot of your ways, a lot of your plans. Because you can't go in this with your plan. You forget it. It's God's way or no way. And I had to learn that the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the price that we have to pay, though, is just wonderful once we'll do it. It's just sitting in his presence instead of sitting on the telephone or in front of the TV. I mean, it's just getting in God's lap and listening to him. If you read any number of biographies of the great spiritual leaders, they'll all say the same thing. I started putting hours aside to spend in God's presence. And I don't care whether he's speaking to you through dreams or through the word or through your worship or how he's doing it. It's doing what Jesus wants to do for a few hours. You know, that's a price, but it's not all gruesome.
The price to pay is you're going to have to say no to self and the world and
mm-hmm.
your plans. Instead of you going, say, to a big party. Down here we're having Mardi Gras. Okay. I don't believe Mardi Gras. Don't promote it. But a lot of people, they would rather go do that than to stay before God. And it costs you. You're going to have to give up something to have more God and to walk in his ways. It's going to cost you. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about the things that we hold dear, those things that we need to lay at the cross daily and deny ourselves of. There's not that anything may be necessarily wrong with them, but in order to have more of God, we have to deny self. And be willing to say, God, I really want to do this, but you're first. That is a sacrifice that pleases God.
Now, if any of you who've been listening tonight, if you wanted to make a comment on anything that's been said, If you received a word and one of the words that was given, or you have a story to tell, this is your last chance now. Push that one and let us know that you want to talk instead of just listen, because we're here for you. That's what we want to do, is be here for you so that you can share. We keep sharing our stories, but we want to hear from you.
That's right.
Teresa, do you have anything else?
Well, I was just thinking earlier about how that Kurt was talking about how that sometimes, how was it he said that, it's just the Holy Spirit in his meetings and that no darkness is able to come there. I've been in meetings before, especially prophetic meetings, where I've felt the presence, and the Lord has certain ways of letting me know that there are those that are not on our side in the meeting. And I just want to let them know that we do know you're there, but we love you.
Well, whenever they come in our meetings, they can find out this God that we serve is real.
Mm-hmm.
And they may jump ship.
Well, we were all there at some point where we weren't where we are now, but part of us was looking.
Sure. We were all looking when we came. When we came to Christ, we were all looking, searching for something.
He's the real deal, isn't he?
He is. There's nothing compared to him. I want to give your listeners the opportunity in the next two or three weeks, we're going to be winding up the construction of Kurt Daigle Ministries' website. You'll be able to go to KurtDaigleMinistries.com. There'll be some teachings. There'll just be different things that will be available to minister to the people. And I believe that we'll be greatly encouraged. We will have one page where it will be called The Secret Place. And
right.
You'll be able to come and pray. It's praise and worship music that will take you before the Lord. And it's just going to be great. So we want you to be able to look up to our website and just hook up with the Holy Ghost and just absorb the presence of the Lord.
We want to offer you every opportunity that we can, because that's what prophetic people are about, offering you opportunities, to really grow in your gifts and callings and toward the destiny that God's got for you, and to know him more intimately and to be transformed. And I want to say that, on Now Faith Ministry Training School, we're starting a new year. We're into our fourth year now, but the wonderful thing about Ministry Training School Online is that you can start at any point with anybody. I know Teresa had a prayer partner, and I encourage people all over the world to have small groups. Last year, we had about 2.5 million hits. That's a lot of people that are interested in knowing God. So if the devil's been telling you people don't want to hear it, tell him he's a liar. And we want you to be able to go to ministry training school right now without having to move or quit your job or leave your family or move away from home is what I meant. Don't leave your spouse for sure. But you can go to nowfaith.tv, Ministry Training School, online for just $10 a month. And we have 3 years, that's 9 semesters, of very deep teachings, how to minister. It's not the same old, I guarantee you. And if you don't like it after a month, you can just, cancel your subscription. But I want you to know that on Crosswalk Life, we've got over 300 free articles. We've got warfare music. We've got testimonies. We've got people sharing open visions that they're having right out loud, even as they're having it. We recorded it, and, where Jesus was just healing people, touching them in person. This is not visualization. This isn't some kind of a spirit guide or anything. This is just people in prayer, and they begin to see Jesus touching them himself.
That's right.
We've got, did you want to share something, Teresa?
Oh, well, I just have experienced that. And for those of you all that are interested in getting with Carlotta and going through Restoration Prayer Ministry, that's a part of it, is you just go through that open vision session. And it's amazing what the Lord does. He's so creative about how he just wants to help us to understand things that maybe we have misunderstood, and especially about himself, but other people also. And he just is awesome to just come, because he wants to touch us anyway. He's wanting to, and he loves us, and he wants us to be cleared of all the misconceptions that the enemy has just heaped upon us.
Well, just go to www.cwlinc.com, and you'll see all the ways that we want to serve you. Not only the ministry training school, Restoration Prayer Ministry that she was talking about is individual sessions that are custom, where we are taking a history, we're hearing all the blocks in your life, and then we're making you aware of those things, and then giving Jesus a chance to go ahead and touch you, heal you, set you free. And it, like I say, it's not visualization or anything New Age. It's just waiting on the Lord to do it, and I teach you how to pray in more effective ways so you can maintain your freedom. And then we have opportunities for you in ministry, too. You not only have all the free articles and everything, but we'll give you opportunities as we begin to discern what your gifts and callings are. You can be a part of these radio programs or go on ministry trips or write articles or be an intern or volunteer, because we're about teaching, training, and equipping you to fulfill what God has for you. That's what we do. So just check it out. Just check it out. We're up in Pennsylvania, but Kurt's got you covered down in the Louisiana area, and Teresa's in Tennessee. We've got people all over, because actually we've been ministering, raising up, discipling, and doing restoration prayer ministry for people for 10 years now.
Carlotta, I want to invite people, if they want to get in touch with me, they can go to Facebook. And
oh, yeah.
They can look up Kurt, K-U-R-T, Daigle, D-A-I-G-L-E. And if they want to email me, my phone number is even there, contact phone if they want to call me. They can feel free to do so. And
how do they tell which one's you? Because there's two Kurt Daigles.
Well,
you're the handsome one. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I'm the one that's got a dog bone around his neck. So would you please play with me?
I want you to get a better picture.
I know, it's so tiny I can't see it. So
I know, we need up close and personal picture of your pretty face.
That's right.
What's that, Billy Bob with no teeth? And
No.
But we'll do that. But we do want to invite you. You can also reach Carlotta at Facebook as well, and Chief Hudson as well.
That's right.
And if we can be of any... We're here to help you. We're not here to make profit. None of that. We're here to help you to fulfill your destiny.
We're a non-profit, but we're for profits.
Yeah. And we used to be pathetic, but now we're prophetic.
Right. Well, that's what we're all about, and that's why we have our phone numbers and our email addresses and everything available to you, why so much is for free, the greatest majority of it for free. And I believe... if you all will pray with me, I have a prayer request tonight. I'd like all our listeners to consider, and even those that download it later, it'll probably still be there, this prayer request. We're expanding again, and I believe that we're going to have a new facility soon, and we're going to be reaching out. We're thinking of putting it right near the missions downtown, and we're going to be reaching out and giving personal ministry, prophetic ministry, and healing prayer to anyone that comes. And I've done this before, and for those of you that have never seen it, well, go to a Christian International Church or come to us, because God is pouring out His Spirit, and it says in the end times that men and women will prophesy. And, you know, people, they focus on Corinthians where it says, let two or three prophesy, but it's only two verses after that that says, let them all prophesy. God's just saying, don't make it chaotic, you know. But there is an anointing, and it is God. Check it out for yourself before you decide or judge it. It is God. God's got something to say to everybody. I haven't found anybody that God will not prophesy to. Haven't found a single one that He said, I ain't talking to them, don't say a word. He might want to, but but he hasn't. And we are just going to be offering prophetic ministry to anyone that will come. Or if they'd rather have healing prayer, they can have that too. Prayer for whatever subject. But we're offering that in these meetings that we will minister to every single person that comes. And you might say, well, that can take hours. Yes, it does, and I'm prepared for that. I'm very aware of that. But I would like your prayer for us to pick the right facility, because we've got choices, and it matters to God sometimes where you are. It's just strategic, and I would like prayer for that, that we will make the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's great.
Well, Father, we thank you, thank you, mm-hmm. thank you, that you're a talking God, and you're willing to talk to everybody that's listening, that will be downloading or that will receive this as someone else shares it, that you talk to everybody. And it isn't you that has backed up from us, but sometimes we've backed up from you. Sometimes we've gone into rejection cycles and believe that you'll stand us up if we sit there and listen for you. But I just want to encourage everyone there. I just hear the Lord saying, just worship me. If you don't sing, get out a CD, but worship me. Get in my word. If you have to, start with a devotional or a list, but spend time with me, because I want to impart to you that perfect love which I have for you. I want to take away all your fears. I want you to have perfect confidence in me, that my character is perfect, and I will never let you down. I will never be indebted to you. I'll never be late, and I'll never be a dollar short, that I have everything orchestrated to come out perfectly for you, those that love me and are called according to my purpose. So come unto me. Come unto me. And I just challenge you tonight, just take out pen and paper or your Bible or whatever God says to start with tonight or in the morning. Get up a little bit earlier, it'll be worth it. And say, I don't want to let another day go by without me just sitting quietly in God's presence and seeing if he doesn't have something to say to me. And begin to journal it, because one thing that Teresa has really stressed is when you ask God for a dream, be ready to write it down. It's precious. It's precious. I mean, just this week, you know, God has warned me, and last week it gave me a warning about someone that's, you know, going to be coming in attack against this new birthing that we're doing. But I know if God tells me that, he's also got it under control. And all I have to do is agree with him that whatever he's birthing, he will protect it and see it through.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So don't be afraid of what God's going to say, because even if it's something like that, he's just telling you. I kind of hate to say it this way, but in a way he's kind of showing off, saying, I'm going to tell you who's going to come against you, and I'm already going to tell you who's going to win this fight.
Right.
They're going to wind up blessing you and me both, because I'm just going to be in control and show them my love and my salvation, and they're going to realize that I am God and I'm the one that loves them perfectly. Thank you, Kurt, for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me on your program.
Can we do this again, and we will address, people have written me so many questions about deception and false teachers and false prophets and false revivals. Can we address some of that one time?
Yes, ma'am. That'd be great. Be glad to do it.
Okay. Let's plan on that. Teresa, bless you. Thank you after a hard day for being with us.
Well, thank you, Carlotta. It's great to be here. And I'd just like to ask Kurt if he would just pray a prayer for any of those people out there that don't know Jesus yet.
Well, let's pray. Just say the simple prayer. Pray to God. Say, Father in heaven, I realize I'm a sinner, and I need you. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Deliver me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I give you all that I am, Jesus. And I come to you. You're my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. And I thank you for saving me today and washing me in your blood. And I give you thanksgiving and praise, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If any of you prayed that prayer, I want you to feel free to write us. My address is cwl@cwlinc.com. Kurt, do you want to share yours? Do you want them to write me?
My email is propheticservant@aol.com. Propheticservant@aol.com.
And that servant with an A-N-T at the end? Or
right.
E-N-T?
A-N-T.
A-N-T.
S-B-R-V-A-N-T.
Okay, well, we're on the countdown now, and we say bless you, bless you, bless you. Please write us. Please send in your testimonies. You can even record them on our telephone at 724-206-0530. And be blessed. Good night.
Good night.